Tonight, as I mentioned in this morning's lesson, we're going to be looking at the Christian's inheritance. And, you know, we're thinking about Romans 8 this morning, and one of the key points in Romans 8 is that we have the adoption, which means we are children of God. And then Paul goes on to make the point that if we're children, then we're heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And that idea, being an heir, a joint heir with Christ, implies that there is an inheritance. I think most of us are familiar with the concept of an inheritance. There may even be some here in the assembly tonight who have received an inheritance at some point or another in his or her life. And an inheritance is something that one receives from one's progenitors after they pass away. It could be money, it could be land, it could be stocks and bonds or possessions, personal possessions, a house perhaps. So an inheritance is something that we receive from our parents, something that is of great value. A lot of times an inheritance is guaranteed in a document, a legal document that is called a will. And this legal instrument, the will, determines what to do with one's belongings after death. My wife and I have a will, and we've said in our will what to do with the things that we possess after we pass away. In ancient Israel, an inheritance was associated specifically with land owned by the family. And that land was to remain in the family. It was not a matter of personal possession. That is, because it belonged to me, then therefore it will belong to my children in the sense that we think about it today. It was a matter of law. So the law of Moses itself contained the provision regarding inheritance, and said specifically that the inheritances were to remain within the family. If you look, for example, at Numbers chapter 27 and verses 6 through 11, there's a tremendous amount of discussion relative to the inheritance. Numbers chapter 7. And verses 6 through 11. I think Eddie's trying to bring it up back there on the computer. So, that's not exactly what I was looking for. Numbers 27, I'm sorry. Numbers chapter 27. Got to check my references. And Moses talks in this chapter, there's a special situation in this chapter about a man who had no sons. He had a number of daughters. And he was wondering, well, what shall we do with his possessions? You know, who will inherit those? And Moses says, well, they will pass to his daughters, verse 8. And then we have this teaching or this law relative to the inheritance. Look at verse 8. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And then verse 11 says, if his father has no brothers, you shall give his inheritance to the relative closest to him in his family. And he shall possess it. And it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment as the Lord commanded Moses. And so this was in the law of Moses. Who was going to receive the inheritance specifically? So it wasn't a matter of a personal will that was written. It was a matter of what the law said. And that's somewhat different from what we experience here we can make a will and we can write in the will who's going to receive the inheritance, and it could be anyone. It doesn't necessarily have to be our family members. It could be just someone that we cherish. It could be someone else. It doesn't have to be family. But in the law of Moses, it's specified very specifically, it must stay in the family. And it was not allowed to be passed along to someone who was not in that family. And that is seen as an example in the book of Ruth. And in Ruth, it was indicated that God's desire was that every family in Israel have an inheritance, and that it remain that way. There was one exception to this, and that was the tribe of Levi. They did not receive a land inheritance like the other 11 tribes received a land inheritance, but they did have an inheritance. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 11. Nope, that's not right either. Okay, it's verse 1. Deuteronomy 18, verse 1. All right, scroll up. I guess my eyes are starting to fail me, you know, in looking at these numbers after so many years. Notice what it says. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. So the inheritance of the tribe of Levi had to do with what was offered on the altar. But then notice what is said here in verse 2. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. Now that's a key thought in the Old Covenant relative to the priestly tribe of Israel. The Lord is their inheritance. I want to take that thought, and I want us to move into a discussion of the inheritance in the New Testament under Jesus. And because, you know, under Christ, every Christian is a priest, right? And every Christian, therefore, is spiritually speaking a member of the tribe of Levi in that sense, in the sense that was the priestly tribe. And so what is the inheritance for Christians? And this is a very, very important verse to think about in that regard. Now, before we talk about what the inheritance is, let's talk about some other matters relative to the inheritance. First of all, we have the question, who gets the inheritance? And this inheritance, as we mentioned, is the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Okay? Christians are joint heirs. They are, to put it another way, they are co-inheritors of what Jesus Christ will inherit. But there are some who will not get the inheritance. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. Paul, the apostle, writes these words. He says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So who gets the inheritance? First of all, we need to think about those who do not get the inheritance. And Paul makes it very clear that if one is living in sin, he or she does not get the inheritance. The inheritance is, in fact, only for those who are qualified. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or suitable, or fit, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." It made us suitable, fit, or qualified, the New King James Version says, that we're qualified to have the inheritance. So we've got to be qualified. Not anyone can receive an inheritance. My will is not set up so that anyone can receive my inheritance, whatever that might be. A person must be qualified to receive that inheritance. And how are they qualified? In my particular will, you're qualified if you're one of my children. Maybe that's the case with yours as well. But the Bible, the New Testament specifically, tells us how to be qualified in order to receive the inheritance. We'll talk about that in a moment. Notice Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. We see that in answer to the question, who gets the inheritance? It's not the sinful. It's only for the qualified. But we have here that Gentiles will receive the inheritance. That Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Fellow heirs, joint heirs, Gentiles. Some Gentiles are going to receive the inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter writes to husbands and wives, talking to them specifically about, talking to the husbands about dwelling with their wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And notice this, as being heirs together of the grace of life. So faithful husbands and wives are joint heirs. They're co-heirs of the grace of life. That means faithful husbands and wives will receive the inheritance. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul there is speaking about how that Jesus told him to preach the gospel and to open the eyes of the Gentiles and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. Notice the word inheritance there. Among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so one receives the inheritance who is sanctified by faith. Who receives the inheritance? Not the sinful, only the qualified. The Gentiles who are in Christ will receive it, faithful husbands and wives, and those sanctified by faith in Jesus. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 5. James chapter 2 and verse 5. James is talking about how the brethren treat the poor in the assembly. And he says here in verse 5, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? And so certain poor who are rich in faith and love Jesus will be heirs. They will receive the inheritance. We looked this morning at Romans 8 and verse 17. Romans 8 and verse 17, which says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 says, if you are children, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So those who are Christ, those who belong to Christ, they are heirs. And who are they? They are the children of God. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The children of God are heirs of what God has to give his son, Jesus Christ. So who are the heirs? Not the sinful, only the qualified. Some Gentiles, faithful husbands and wives, those sanctified by faith in Jesus, the poor of this world who are rich in faith, who love him, those who are Christ's, the children of God. Though that's who the Bible says are heirs or who will receive the inheritance. Question number two, how do they get the inheritance? How do they get it? Look at Galatians 3 and verse 18. First of all, we get the inheritance by the promise of God. the Apostle Paul writes, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." So God gave the inheritance to Abraham by promise. So we receive this inheritance by the promise of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And so we have this promise that God made, and we receive the inheritance. How do we do it? How do we get it? By God's promise. Notice Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, that we receive the inheritance by the word of God. It's by the promise of God. And where is that promise found? It is found in the word of God. Paul writes, or he speaks to the elders at Ephesus. He says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." The word, notice, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." The word of God gives the inheritance. It's the promise of God. It's the word of God. Look at Titus 3 and verse 7. Titus 3 and verse 7, that we receive the inheritance in reference to being justified by faith in Jesus Christ, or being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So how do we receive the inheritance? By the promise of God, by the word of God, by being justified by his grace. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 18 again. Acts 26 and verse 18, it says there that we receive the inheritance by being sanctified by faith in Christ. Notice, it comes from the word of God. It comes from the promise of God. It comes from the grace of God. It comes from being sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. It comes by becoming a child of God. Galatians 3, 26 through 29, take a look at that. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through, just start in verse 26, I guess, and we'll go through 29. Notice what it says, "For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." There's the promise again. So, it's by the promise of God. It's by the word of God. It's by being justified by his grace. It's by the grace of God. It's sanctified by faith in Jesus. We must have faith. We must become a child of God. And how do we become a child of God? You are baptized into Christ. Now think about this for a minute. What is our plan of salvation? Hear the word. Believe it. Repent of sins. Confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We receive the inheritance in the same way. That's how we get it, by doing those things. And that's what the Bible teaches. And then it is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. Ephesians 1 and verse 14. Now, once we become a child of God, then we see that the inheritance is guaranteed as long as we're a faithful child of God. Notice verse 13. "In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth." There's hearing again. There's hearing the word. "The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed," there's the faith that we need to have, "you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You were sealed. And notice what it says in verse 14, "which is the earnest of our inheritance." The word earnest here means guarantee, a down payment, so to speak. It's that which assures us that we will receive the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. So the presence of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we will receive this inheritance. So how do we get the inheritance? By becoming a child of God through grace, faith, and obedience to the gospel. And then it's promised, it's guaranteed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. All right, now, how do we get the inheritance? Where and when do we get the inheritance? So who gets the inheritance? How do we get it? Where and when? Let's look at Ephesians 1 and verse 11. Ephesians 1 and verse 11, we're already there. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, what is he talking about here in this context? He's talking about all the spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly places in Christ. Back up to verse 3 there and take a look at that, because that's the context. All spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Well, one of the spiritual blessings that we receive is the inheritance. Well, where is the inheritance? It's in Christ. And if we're in Christ, we receive the inheritance. So where is the inheritance? It is in Christ. Notice Colossians 3 and verse 24, which makes this very clear. Colossians 3 and verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Where do we get it? We get it of the Lord, from him. That's where we get this inheritance. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. As we think about where this inheritance is and when it is. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Of eternal inheritance. It is an eternal inheritance, not just a temporal inheritance. The inheritance that my children will receive, they will receive it only for a short time. And then, Lord willing, they will have children to whom they will give an inheritance. And some of my things may be included in that, but that is not an eternal inheritance. That is but a temporal or temporary inheritance. But the Bible talks about an eternal inheritance. When will we receive it? We will receive it in eternity. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 makes this very clear. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, or verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's where the inheritance is. Reserved in heaven. Where is the inheritance? In Christ. It's from the Lord. It is in eternity. It is in heaven. When do we receive the inheritance? There's a sense in which we have it in promise right now, but in complete fulfillment, we receive it after we pass into eternity. And then the question that we started to look at the beginning of the lesson, which we'll conclude with now, what is this inheritance? That's really what everyone wants to know, right? What is the inheritance? When you read the will, what is it that people are interested in? What is it that's being left to me? What am I going to get? What am I going to receive? What is the inheritance? And that's why we started back in the old covenant, because the inheritance is that which is the Lord himself. As we saw there in our introduction in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 2, the Lord is their inheritance. And we're going to move on to, again, to Galatians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 8 here, because, and we've already looked at those passages, but just go to Galatians chapter 4 and notice what the text says here about the inheritance and what it is. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now scroll up a little bit for us, Eddie, to verse 7. Wherefore you are no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 tells us that. Whatever we inherit, it is what Christ inherits. It is the same thing that Christ gets, that we get. That is the inheritance. It is equal to Christ's inheritance. Peter, again in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, describes this inheritance as being incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It is not earthly things, not silver and gold from your empty manner of life, Peter tells us. It's not anything like that. You know, a lot of times today, those who are in the religious world want to talk about heaven. And I've heard it characterized in many ways by many different religious figures. And a lot of them are speaking out of turn, saying things the Bible never says. Oh, heaven, heaven's going to be a place where we have a big fancy house. And we're going to go water skiing, doing everything that you like to do, your favorite things. Now, I'm not saying that. That's what other people have said. The Bible knows nothing of that kind of thinking in regard to heaven. The inheritance that the Bible says that Christians are going to receive is very simple. It is God and the saints in eternity. That's it. That's the inheritance. You see, that's what God wants us to desire. He wants us to desire Him. He wants us to desire one another as His people. That's the inheritance. Now look at Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Ephesians 1 and verse 18. Notice what it says here. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The glory of His inheritance. Who is His referring to here? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17. You may know what the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Christ's inheritance in the saints or among the saints. This idea that the people of God are God's inheritance, and that God is our inheritance, is an idea that is throughout the Old Covenant. One more scripture before we go back to the Old Covenant here, just a minute. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 16. And when we think about Hebrews 11, we think about Abraham and what he was looking for, because he was looking for a better country, heavenly country. And it says, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. What is that saying? That's talking about the relationship of God with His people. He has prepared for them a city. Does that mean He has prepared for them buildings and houses and things like that? That's not what it's talking about. If there were no people in this city, there would be no city. The people are the city. The people is the inheritance. Now, let's look at a few passages in the Old Testament, and then we'll be done with our lesson. Numbers 18 and verse 20. Numbers 18 and verse 20. And this surrounds a particular word in the Old Covenant, the word portion, because the idea of receiving a portion of something in the Old Testament was very important. The Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part or thy portion and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. God was his inheritance. God was his portion. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. The Lord's going to get an inheritance too. What is he going to get? He's going to get you. He's going to get me. That's his inheritance. That's what he wants. He wants you. And I think that's an amazing thing. You think about inheritances that we receive and we look at those wills and, wow, look at all that land they're going to get. Wow, look at all that money they're going to get in that will. And we think about, we want that. But the Lord says, what I want is you. You are more valuable than all the land in the world. You are more valuable than all the money in the world. It's you the Lord wants. Look at Psalm 16 and verse 5. And you see, this notion should be reciprocated. The Lord wants us, and we should want the Lord. And this is what the psalmist says. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. The Lord is my portion. That's the inheritance. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 57. Psalm 119, verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. The Lord is our portion. And this is also echoed again in Jeremiah 51 and verse 19. This is a key verse regarding the inheritance. Jeremiah 51 and verse 19. The portion of Jacob, and in the context, it's talking about the contrast between the physical things of the world that the world values and what God values. In verse 18, notice he says, those things are vanity, they're empty, they're works of error. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. But notice verse 19, the portion of Jacob, these physical things, these idols and treasures and things like that, the portion of Jacob. What is the portion of Jacob? Remember, it's the Lord. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. The inheritance that we desire is the Lord himself. Jeremiah laments in Lamentations 3 and verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will trust in him. So, what is the Christian's inheritance? It is the Lord. And what is Christ's inheritance? We are his inheritance. And we are co-heirs with Christ. And what does that mean? That we get each other also. Now, to me, that's super exciting. Because I love people, and I love having a great relationship with other people. I think it's fantastic. I love to spend time with people. And if you think about it, that's exactly what we get in eternity. We get one another. We get to know one another to a level that we will never know one another in this life. That's the portion. God, and we get to know God, and we get God in the fullest sense of who he is. And folks, you don't want to miss out on that. Think about the greatest relationship that you have in your life or you have ever had in your life. And think about that relationship with that person and how fantastic it was and how wonderful it was and how you never wanted it to end. And then multiply that by infinity. And that's the relationship you're going to have with God in eternity. That's tremendous. See, it's not about earthly treasures. It's not about things. I know the Bible sometimes pictures heaven in ways that we can understand. And pictures things in terms that help us to understand how valuable it is. You know, gold and fine jewels and things like that. No, it's a picture. But heaven is so much more valuable than physical things. And God is the one who we will inherit. The Christian's inheritance. You don't want to miss out on it. It's like taking that trip of a lifetime with your best friend. And you want to do that, you know, because you're anticipating such a great time. That's what heaven's going to be. But your best friend is going to be God. And you're going to love every moment. And it's going to be greater than anything that you've experienced here in this earth. What a tremendous inheritance we get. The inheritance of God, the inheritance of Christ, and of one another. We're going to have a great time in heaven. And I hope that each one of you is looking forward to it and is doing the things that we need to do while we're here on earth to ensure that we make it there. We talked about who gets to heaven, who gets the inheritance. It's those who have heard the word and believed it, repented of sin, confessed Jesus as Lord, and been baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's who gets the inheritance. Do you want that inheritance? Why not follow those simple commands today? Become a child of God. Let the Holy Spirit live in your life to guarantee your future inheritance and be a faithful child of God. If you need to do that this evening, we're ready to help you. While together we stand and while we sing.